Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today's Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. I'm Peter Apathy with Raven News. When the Sitka Assembly met last night, it denied former Assembly candidate Austin Cranford's application for a seat on the local Police and Fire Commission. Cranford, who has lived in Sitka for 11 years, works as a technology specialist for the University of Alaska Southeast. In his application, he said he's applied due to the, quote, constant issues that plague the city and its administration. Cranford wrote that only by having full boards and commissions will those issues be resolved. Cranford recently made the news when he appealed the city's decision to deny two of his public records requests. Cranford was requesting records or reports of corruption made against any city employee or elected official, as well as records that indicated city staff had retaliated against local media. The city denied both his records requests, and the Assembly upheld that decision, saying the requests were too broad. Cranford's application also referenced his own military experience and experience as campus security, along with a family with a history of EMS, police, and fire and military work in Alaska and the lower 48. His father, Gary Cranford, is a former Sitka police officer who sued the city last October, alleging he was unfairly demoted and his union contract was breached. A vote to appoint Cranford to the commission failed 2-5, with Assembly members Scott Celine and Mayor Stephen Eisenbeis in favor of the appointment. Several Assembly members who voted against Cranford's appointment said they felt that Cranford's previous comments about the police department were contrary to the mission of the police commission, and appointing him to the role would not be appropriate. We'll have more coverage of the Assembly's decision on Cranford's appointment and other business on Raven News tonight at 5:18. Sitka's Industrial Park is raising the rates for summer tour operators who board passengers at its deepwater dock this season, but there is some concern over potential user conflict with industrial users as cruise tourism grows in Sitka. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The Gary Paxton Industrial Park Board met on April 22nd and agreed that the $1 per head tariff charged last year for use of the GPIP floating dock was too low and out of line with fees at Sitka's other public facilities. Executive Director Gary White said the city was examining rates charged in other Southeast cities with the goal of establishing a consistent rate in Sitka.
City and Borough's in a study right now to do basically benchmarking, looking at all of the different ports around Southeast to come up with some rates. And the goal is to get the harbor system and GPIP on the same field where we're not competing against one another, right, where it's a standard rate across.
The board had previously considered bumping the per passenger fee to $5 for use of the dock. Adventure Sitka, a local excursion company, is a major customer. Co-owner Chris McGraw said that his company had already cut deals with the cruise lines, and a five-fold increase in the tariff was not factored into their rate structure. McGraw urged the board to hold the increase to $2 for this year, while the city resolved the broader tariff question.
We could get to where we're just to this, some standard tariff rate that is community-wide, you know, whether you come here to Crescent or you go out there, it's the same for our type of, you know, more of a shore excursion type service versus an actual ship that's coming in letting off passengers.
Sitka opened the 250-foot deepwater dock at the industrial park in 2018. It's seen growing use by the fishing fleet and increasing demand from small cruise lines for moorage. Adventure Sitka uses a finger float connected to the dock to board roughly 10,000 passengers per summer for its excursion in Silver Bay. Jeremy Circa works in the marine trades at the park. He suggested that Adventure Sitka was not only getting a good deal, it was also limiting the ability of industrial users to access the dock.
Not only getting out, you're getting access with your buses all day long coming through there too, which prohibits anybody from getting down to the dock. So next year at this time, hopefully that haul out's complete, and we're going to have to look at what are we going to do if there's a ship in town or if somebody wants to lay up for a little bit to look at their engine. Or
board member Casey Campbell agreed but didn't want to start that conversation on the eve of the summer tour and fishing seasons. He proposed taking up the user issue again in the fall.
I think there's a lot of long-term concerns, which are valid, and I think we're going to need to address here at some, you know, sooner than later, with what GPIB looks like, you know, down the road with industrial activity, the haul out, and, you know, tourism activity that is continuing to maybe grow out there.
The Gary Paxton Industrial Park Board voted unanimously to recommend raising the tariff for use of the Deepwater Dock to $2 for the 2024 season and to $5 for 2025. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The Stikine River Birding Festival starts today. From Birding 101 to birdhouse building, there are workshops and entertainment for all ages. KSTK's Colette Zarnicki has more from Wrangell.
Bonnie Demersion loves birds. Today, the Wrangell resident is wearing blue heron dangle earrings. She's been involved with the Stikine River Birding Festival for around 12 years. She says it initially attracted people from out of town to see the bald eagles congregate on the Stikine River, but then it morphed over time.
Partly, I think, because you can't always tell exactly when that's going to happen. It's hard to plan a festival when you have birds that aren't on schedule. So it kind of changes something a little broader.
Demersion is hosting two events during the festival, the first an intro-level birding identification class. She'll also be putting on a bird walk at Muskeg Meadows Golf Course. She says the festival is targeted towards the Wrangell community itself. It helps link people with the importance of habitat and the health of bird populations.
I'm kind of excited because today I heard and saw the first sandhill cranes, and they always come right about mid-April. And they usually come in hundreds, thousands even. So they're coming from down south. They go and they land on the delta of the Stikine River as a stopover for them.
Sandhill cranes are one migratory bird that indicates spring in southeast Alaska. Other birds that migrate here include warblers and thrushes. Demersion says they haven't arrived yet. We'll have to wait another month for when it's a bit warmer. One of the earliest migratory birds is the ruby-crowned kinglet. Demersion says they spend their winter as far south as Mexico and migrate north to breed.
So they're here breeding through July into August, then they're gone again. So we think of them as our birds, but actually they don't spend most of their life here. They spend it down south somewhere.
Demersion says one of the challenges of birding is learning their songs. She says that she's always aware of bird sounds because sometimes birds in Wrangell are easier to hear than see.
The ruby-crowned kinglet I was telling you about, I mean, one of the things, they have a very repetitive sound. So it sounds like they're saying again and again and again and again. And once you hear it, I mean, it's so distinctive that it's one of those that you can learn easily.
They are very tiny birds, around 4 inches long, and the males have a ruby crown. Birding isn't always just about the birds. Sometimes birders witness unexpected acts of nature, like what Demersion experienced at Petroglyph Beach.
There was a blue heron that was about to come in and land on that rocky area with a marker on it, and a sea lion jumped up out of the water. Did not, but tried to grab that heron right out of the air. It's like, oh, what did I just see?
This is the first year for Claire Froelich and Matt Henson to organize the Stikine River Birding Festival. Henson, who is the Marketing and Community Development Coordinator for the City and Borough of Wrangell, says that this area of central southeast Alaska is a hub for migratory birds. The Audubon Society has an interactive map that shows where the birds are coming from.
It's almost like a funnel or a bottleneck for a lot of migratory birds.
He says this year they're not bringing in as many speakers as in previous years because they're focusing on more community involvement. But there are a lot of family-friendly community events. There will also be a bird banding event and an art exhibition from Evergreen Elementary students. Many events will be held at the Nolan Center, including a ballet. Claire Froelich, who is a park ranger with the U.S. Forest Service, says their agency just put in a MODIS tower up the Stikine River to track birds.
We've seen some really cool birds, like a blue jay, pass by the MODIS tower in Wrangell, or near Wrangell, and fly all the way almost across Canada in like a day and a half. and it's a little blue bird.
Though some migratory birds will carry on with their journey north, others might stay in the area and nest. Who knows, maybe they'll even nest in one of the birdhouses people will make during the festival. In Wrangell, I'm Colette Zarnicki.
The Stikine Bird Festival starts today and runs through Sunday, April 28th. A new University of Alaska research project will look at the way human-caused climate change will affect fishing, farming, and harvesting in the Gulf of Alaska. $20 million of funding from the National Science Foundation will support the work of nearly two dozen researchers across all three campuses. The team includes Jason Fellman with the Alaska Coastal Rainforest Center. He says warming from the burning of fossil fuels is bringing more extreme rainfall and less winter snow. It's also melting glaciers, which creates a steady trickle of fresh water, sediment, and nutrients.
What's running off the landscape potentially ends up in the nearshore marine. And so these connections, land-to-ocean connections, could be changing quite rapidly at the moment.
Research efforts will begin this summer with community workshops in each partner community. And that's all for Raven News.